Big Sloth.
I'm going to ask you this one time. Where is Gamora?
Yeah, I'll do you one better. Who's Gamora?
I'll do you one better. Why is Gamora?
Hobo Radio, the official podcast of HoboTrashCan.com. You can share your thoughts on the show anytime by emailing Joel at murphyslaw@HoboTrashCan.com.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to Hobo Radio. So stay tuned.
And now, two guys with worse jokes than me. Joel Murphy and Lars.
Hello again. I'm Joel Murphy. This is Hobo Radio. And running this well-oiled machine with me is my good friend, Lars Periwinkle. How's it going, man?
Hold on, I can't hear you. I'm totally joking.
That's a good joke.
It's going well now. Technology is a bitch sometimes, and sitting across from me is a member of the Baltimore Improv Group, Heather Moyer. Hi, Heather.
Hello. I was so worried that segue was going to be also involve me being a bitch. Being a bitch, Heather Moyer.
You know what else is a real bitch?
Thank you for making that two different things.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming.
Of course. Happy to be here.
There's one more. You go ahead, Joel. I'm not introducing this guy.
Who are we? You're also not introducing Molly Regan, who's to my left as well.
I thought we were going boy, boy, girl, boy, girl.
You just said there's one more, which implies that you were leaving somebody out. So
okay, No, let's go back and pick that up. Yeah, go ahead. Let's do it.
Okay. Also with us is Marty McGuire from the We Have to Ask podcast. Also from New York. Your claim to fame these days.
Yeah. People know me as the Marty from New York now.
It's like Jenny from the Block.
It's exactly like that.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know this, but Marty is actually, he moved there to be a maid in Manhattan.
I did. Yeah. Wow. And it's going great.
Have you met your Matthew McConaughey yet?
Yes, but unfortunately I haven't met any of my paperwork requirements to be a house cleaner. So, I need a few more recommendations. If you know anybody who wants their house cleaned for free and would be willing to be like a reference.
I know lots of people who want their house cleaned for free. Basically everyone I know.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
In Manhattan. It's pretty competitive here, yeah.
There's millions of people that want their house cleaned for free. You're gonna be really busy, man.
You're gonna be rolling in nothing.
And that's the American dream right there.
Well, we're obviously all assembled here to have some ladies fight it out in our final four. But before we get to that, there's a couple little things that I would like to address. And one, I just wanted to give Molly a moment to share her inspiration lately.
Oh, yeah. I've been having some real good days lately when it comes to having some creative bursts recently. I'm an artist. I paint. I've been having some more artist painterly days. It's been real fun. But I realized something recently that I can't tell if it's delightful or weirdly insidious. So I fall asleep every night watching Hulu. And there is a new show on Hulu called Doozers, based off of the characters from Fraggle Rock.
From Fraggle Rock?
Yeah, it's an animated, like, CGI.
Yeah, like it seems much more like...
Joel and Lars, thank you very much for having me on your show.
You gotta run.
Yeah, it seems much more like kind of preschool aimed, like a little, less insane than Fraggle Rock. But they run these commercials like 1 to 2 times per episode of like whatever I'm watching. And as I fall asleep at night, I've been falling asleep to these commercials, which frequently they're introduced with a line that goes, "Molly, let's get creating," every single day. And then throughout the commercial go, "Persistence is the key. You've got to keep going." And I can't discount the idea that all of the painting I've been doing recently might simply be due to subliminal messaging from Jim Henson and Doozers.
Oh, nice.
So I don't know if this is really delightful or kind of insidious and creepy. I'm kind of okay with either. Yeah.
I think it can be both, and I think in a way that's better.
Yeah. Like, but now when I'm awake and the commercial comes on, it kind of upsets me. And I don't know what to do with this information.
You just robotically get up and start painting.
Yes, because I just hear this like very upbeat, like childlike voice that just goes, "Molly, let's get creating." I'm like, okay. Like, let's go. Okay. Like, you got to start. You got to get the gouache out, Molly. You got to go. You got to do this. Like, you have to. Persistence is the key. You've got to keep going.
I'm just concerned, like, season 2 of this show is going to take a turn and they're going to be like, "Molly, put your bank account information in this email."
"Molly, possessions are meaningless. Give away everything you have and move to the woods." Like, I feel like I would do anything the Doozers told me at this point.
"Molly, destroy the West. The proletariats are ruining the world."
That would be an amazing season 2 of Doozers if that was the plotline.
The global economy is the underground.
The trash heap has spoken, and it says,
"All right,
rise
Doozers,
up.
Gather around. It's time to plan to overthrow the government." Yes.
Oh my gosh. I want to see the Doozers occupy all those little adorable, like, "Mic check.
Occupy Fraggle Rock."
Oh man, that's a solid
Doozers,
pick.
Doozers, keep building. Keep building towards what? It doesn't matter. That's keep right. building. If you're not productive, then you are a drain.
But don't take credit for any of the work.
No, we're working
we
together.
We are the means of production. Seize ourselves.
Just remember, Fraggles, that as you eat our buildings that we've made, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism.
The Fraggles are the proletariats.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Those bougie-ass Fraggles.
I want a Doozer propaganda photo. A little Doozer in his little hat.
I might end up painting it. I don't know where this is going to go.
It also could be awesome. Molly and I recently went to the Broad, and there's this straight up just a series of paintings that a guy just paints the Incredible Hulk into all of his paintings. And it was weird because one of them had like 4 Incredible Hulks in it, and it had Incredible Hulk in the name, and then another one had more Incredible Hulks in
but
it.
But doesn't acknowledge that the Hulk is in the painting.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The Doozers are definitely unionized, right?
I hope so.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they follow a strict set of rules.
Like, what if that's taken advantage of?
Otherwise. What if that's the Fraggles union busting? Is that's why they're eating everything they build?
Yeah. No, the Fraggles are union busters.
See, Molly, if you're taking commissions, what I want to see is do you know there's a train that if you take the Amtrak along the Northeast Regional Corridor, and you pass by Trenton, you will see a bridge that says "Trenton makes, the world takes."
Okay.
And I want to see that where like the Doozers are building that bridge, and it's Doozers make, the Fraggles take, and there are Fraggles literally eating the other side of the bridge.
Oh my God, that would be amazing!
I just really want to see that.
That's really good.
That's pretty fantastic.
All right. Well,
this is really fucking me up, you guys. So the Doozers are definitely blue collar workers. Mm-hmm. But the Fraggles, and they're unionized, but the Fraggles seem to be some hippie scum, right? But they're all working towards some sort of socialism.
Yeah, I always thought the Doozers are much smaller than the Fraggles, right?
Yeah.
I always thought that the Doozers had their own society, right?
Yeah.
Like
that's what it seemed like. Yeah.
By their own rules. So like they are the workers, but they're also the bosses. And then the Fraggles are basically Godzilla.
Yeah. No, that's how I interpret it too. They just show up from time to time. But then it's weird because The Fraggles are also smaller than, what are the other things that like live?
Like humans?
Well, they're not humans, but there's the giant past to get to the trash heap. There were some sort of giant monsters that, lived on the outside.
One that's like, it's a Fraggle!
Yeah, those guys.
I forget, do the Doozers and the Fraggles interact? It's been so long since I watched it.
They interact insofar as the Doozers say, hey, stop eating my shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, stuff.
Well, yeah. No, see,
Jim Henson's gone crazy.
Because Fraggle Rock was, I apologize, Fraggle Rock was before my time. So I had to go read the whole Doozers page to figure. Yeah, I apologize. But I had to go read the whole Doozers wiki to figure all of this out, since they are talking to me through commercials and subliminally in my sleep. So they don't interact, and they are actually appreciative of the Fraggles eating all of their work, because it gives them a reason to continue building, because if they didn't...
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So it's like it's a symbiotic relationship, essentially.
Yeah.
And apparently there's like one Doozer who will more explicitly communicate with the Fraggles, but otherwise they just kind of... It's symbiosis and then separate.
leader. That's their celebrated
King Doozer.
Dear leader, please talk to the Fraggles and help them understand that they need to give us a goal. We must keep
that
producing.
Sounds like some propaganda of like, no, they love that they're destroying their work. It gives them purpose.
I highly recommend reading the Doozers wiki, because if you it just really makes me appreciate so much more how fucking intense Jim Henson was. Like, he is not super...
That's a great point.
He is not super
none of these allegories are accidental.
No, he's not super fun Muppet guy. He is intense artist man.
Well, and that's what I feel like everybody misses with Kermit now, is like, if you actually watched the Muppet show, Kermit the Frog is having an anxiety attack. Like, he's not doing okay. And he's always, like, presented now as, like, fun-loving, like, sort of more like a Mickey Mouse type of character. But he was, like, not okay. Like, the other Muppets were ruining his life and ruining his show at all times.
That relationship is abusive.
No, it's not okay. I mean, literally abusive. She would karate chop him across rooms.
I wonder, you know, like, all they're missing is a moment or two where, like, they see Kermit being prescribed modern pharmaceuticals, and it's like, oh, now we see him as just kind of, like, you know, a little put upon and like, he's trying, but anxious, instead of just, like, completely.
Lexapro.
Oh, my God.
Much better.
Now I want, like, you know those Ray Liotta Chantix commercials? I want those, but with Kermit the Frog and Lexapro.
Ask your doctor if Lexapro is right for you.
Fever dream every morning until I had Chantix. Okay. And me and Ray Liotta stopped smoking together.
Yeah. And to be more accurate, they're called the Ray Liotta Chantix.
Oh, that's true.
Man, I still get high. I don't smoke cigarettes.
Oh my God. Look, they're owned by the same people now, so if you have Kermit the Frog and C-3PO in your anxiety medication commercial. That stuff just flies off the shelf more than it does now.
All right. Well, this seems like a really good time, because everyone seems really dialed in now too. There's a game called Pitch Storm, and they were very nice to send me a copy of this game. And it's available to buy if any other people want to do it. But I just thought it would be fun to try to play this. So we're going to do a quick round of this before we get to the tournament. And it's your classic, like, it's a lot of these other games. It's a card-based game. And we'll do a very simple version of it. But basically, I'm going to be a network executive, and one at a time, you guys will be pitching me.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, that's why I came out here to LA. So
yeah.
Clawed your way to the top.
Clawed my way to the top. And,
I thought you just put in an application. Do you have an executive position available?
Yeah. I used this.
I'm a white guy.
Yeah.
Did you try offering to do it for free? Cause I hear that's going to work out for me and all of my Manhattan maid services.
Yeah. Well, I kept getting paid in exposure. And so then, eventually,
Marty,
I cashed that in.
Well, that cuts both ways.
We all went for it.
All right. But yeah, so the simple version of this is just I'm going to give you this. So I'll draw two cards. One's a character card and one is a what do they call it? A plot card. And
you're a writer.
Yeah, what's the thing that characters do? I'm a network executive now. I don't have to know anything.
The idea that there are two parts of any story, the character, and then, I don't know, what's the other thing? I don't know, the one other thing.
What's the stuff that they
climax.
Do? Okay.
Climax.
All right. So, I mean, in certain movies,
you might be getting paid in climaxes, just so you know.
If you're servicing people, yeah.
I don't want that.
Is that, I never saw Made in Manhattan. Is that what happened?
Great point. I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, I know. When you said Matthew McConaughey earlier, I really thought that Made in Manhattan was the one with Ralph Fiennes. So I was confused. But I just went with it.
Oh,
I was
thinking,
like,
no, you're right. It is the one with Ralph Fiennes.
Wedding Planner.
Oh, God. They're all so
the Wedding Planner is the one with Matthew McConaughey. I know this. My childhood best friend.
I apologize.
Loved every J-Lo movie. Ever
I
made.
Apologize for getting my rom-coms confused.
I've seen none of them. I just see a lot of crappy movie posters.
But wasn't that the thing? So McConaughey was like, he loved Wedding Planners because they kept, like, he kept getting older and they were always the same age. Is that movie?
All right.
Good God.
Okay, so I'm going to just go around to all of you and give you a character and a plot, the two elements of all successful movies. And but then, so you'll have 45 seconds to pitch me your movie, but at any point during it I can give you a network note that you then have to incorporate into your movie. So Marty is nodding enthusiastically, which makes me think that he's going to go first.
Okay,
so Marty, your pitch to me is the world's first sentient AI discovers a dangerous secret at a popular new theme park.
Yeah. Great. So are we allowed to make sequels here?
Sure.
Good God.
Excellent.
franchise.
So this one is called Her 2, Her Day Out.
Oh.
And Scarlett Johansson is the omniscient AI that lives in the phones and earbuds and computers of all of us. And that extends to the tiny, crappy computers that run theme parks. Specifically, a tie-in for this film is Six Flags Over Georgia, which is just, they're in dire need. So they're going to be a big sponsor deal. We're going to get the dancing guy if he's still alive. And if we can't, we'll CG him and that'll actually fit, I think, right in. ScarJo is helping out a young family, specifically like a young boy in the family. The mother passed away and basically she's standing in for mom. And as the boy and his family go through their park antics, ScarJo discovers that there is not only a conspiracy here, but it extends to evil AIs that plan to murder humanity. And they're going to use the rides in the park to spark revolution.
I didn't stop you. Like, you went way over time and I didn't give you a note, but because I was enjoying that. So... All right, we'll just go with that for the first one. But yeah, that was solid.
Good. I have apparently I have no idea how long 45 seconds is.
I have no notes. That's either really good or really bad as your network executive.
We'll find out.
It could almost be Disney because you have the loss of a parent.
Oh, that's true.
Oh,
that's
true.
Fair point. In that case, we could not use Six Flags.
Right.
Yeah, very true.
Does anyone want to go next? Are there any volunteers? Or?
I'll go. I don't mind. I'll do it.
Okay. All right, Heather. A feral child raised by apes has just 2 hours to find a huge amount of money for a dangerous mobster.
A what child?
A feral child.
A feral child.
Like a Mowgli.
Mowgli from the Jungle Book has 2 hours to find huge amounts of money for a dangerous mobster.
Or the illegitimate child of Colin Farrell, as far as I see it.
A feral.
That's it. Okay. All right, that's a lot of detail already. All right, so the kid's name is Fang. It's a boy.
I'm in.
And he wears one of those have a nice day plastic bags as his loincloth that ones you always get from a bodega. So that everybody has, like, there's naturally a little bit of connection there that everybody's going to be like, oh, I've seen those bags. And it's also a bit a comment commentary on the environment too, because there's too much plastic in the environment. Anyway, he's chilling with the apes one day when all of a sudden this body just lands in the middle of the forest, the jungle that he's in. And he realizes that it's, he goes over to it. It's like this well-dressed, weird dress to him, but it's clearly like super well-dressed guy. And the guy's dying, and for this great Ray Liotta Shantix ad accent where he's like, "You gotta help me. I can't find this money." And he hands the kid this weird, like, scribbled on map. And then he dies, right? And so now the kid has to figure out what's going on, because suddenly there are bulldozers going to approach the jungle. And unless he can find this money that's hidden, he's going to lose his jungle to the evil mobsters that are going to build casinos on it.
All right, this is good, but I'm going to stop you and give you a note, which is, What if this took place at a paper supply company?
Wow, that's another great detail. Thank you, network executive. I like how you're thinking of this. Well, it turns out that what happens is that note that the dead mobster thrown out of a plane handed to him was all like messed up. And so he has to go. He sees a receipt in the guy's pocket. It says Kinko's on it. He's like, "What is this magical Kinko's place?" So he starts searching around and just going, Kinko's, and the best voice he can say. And so he finds his way to a Kinko's, and they're able to reprint the map for him and blow it up. And there's just fantastic product placement everywhere in this.
Ooh.
Also, because FedEx is involved with Kinko's too, there's like he has to get back in a hurry, so he drives a FedEx van. So there's a wild, like, hijinks type chase in the FedEx van with his giant map.
That's good. That's really, yeah. Oh, man.
Christ almighty, I'm exhausted.
Yeah. There was a lot of layers in that one.
That was good shit.
All right, Lars, are you ready?
Yes.
And?
This is the, I am not, I have had no training.
That just sounds like a movie.
Okay, yeah. A ruthless politician, hungry for power, must transport a dangerous criminal across a war-torn city.
Bored?
Okay. Open on. Donald Trump, who is the leader and also the criminal, and he has to get himself out of Washington, D.C. before people set him on fire because we've all agreed that he is guilty of the things that he has been accused of.
Hold on.
Damn it.
That's good, but I'm going to stop you with a network note, which is, how can we tie this in with the Harry Potter franchise?
Open on. Donald Trump needs to escape the city before he is taken down by a group of Death Eaters who all agree that he is worse than all of them.
All right.
He's traveling through Northwest past Howard University, where he is receiving nothing but Molotov cocktails in his face. He tries to stop at a Caribbean restaurant that looks delicious, but unfortunately has jerk seasoning thrown into his eyeballs. The man is now blind. As he proceeds, he finds that Dementors try to suck his soul out, but he has none, and now they are all starving to death. The Death Eaters try to revive the Dementors with spells. There is no effect. Hermione saves the day because she is all powerful. The end.
Okay. All right. That was good. All right, Molly.
Sure.
All right. So, Molly, your pitch is the world's greatest puppeteer.
Fitting.
Discovers a hidden island full of mythical creatures. This does feel tied into your doozers, like.
Yeah.
Jim Henson has been stranded at sea for months. He is lonely. He is. I see you pulled a network now.
I did. Go ahead, though.
He is lonely. He is hungry. He is just struggling. He washes ashore a glowing, almost ethereal island, wondering, where am I? When a group of...
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. Network note, two words, laser dogs.
Laser dogs approaches him and say, my God, you've finally arrived. We've been waiting for you for so long. And he's confused, yet knows deep down in his soul, they're right. They have been waiting for him for so long. They take a cloth made of seemingly just light and drape it over him and go, come, sir, your throne is waiting. They lift him up and put him atop a throne made of bubbles and go, sir, this is where you've always belonged. We learn that Jim Henson has not been dead. He has just been floating in a sea waiting for his next life to start. Jim Henson is God. Boom. We all question reality. It's an art piece.
I would watch all of these. Like, these are all... I like the snaps too, Marty. That felt very like...
Thank you.
Yeah. Like slam poetry, 90s throwback.
It feels like arts to me.
Yeah.
Get snaps.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, that was fun. I like, thank you, Pitstorm people, for sending that. That was enjoyable. I'm green lighting all of them and then leaving the country. That's what you do.
Doesn't laser dog sound like something your like really rad uncle has written on the side of his van?
Yes.
Honestly, it sounds like a show that Bros has done.
It is a show that Bros has done. It's called Chrono Shred, The Adventures of Stardust Laser Dong.
See?
Yeah. There we go.
All right. Well, I just have to ask all of you
I wish one you, I wish you
more
wouldn't.
Question I wish before we can proceed.
Please don't.
And that
why is there something that's going to happen here?
Well,
or is it sounds like you know? Is this a pre-planned?
Yeah,
moment in
no. He asked the question, and I wish he wouldn't ask the question.
Is this like a Doctor Who thing? Where
nope.
Where the question?
Nope. Oh
is,
boy, I wish that were the case. Nope. Let's just go ahead and hear the question.
Is there something prying? Like, is he getting into parts of your life you don't want to talk about? Or
I almost wish that as private as I am, I wish that were the case. But no, that is not the case.
It's just I need to be sure. It's mainly for legal reasons that I need to be confident before we can proceed. Just so it's on the record.
Yeah.
Are y'all ready for this?
I have a lot of buildup.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. Heather, I'd like to have you on the show when this kind of nonsense isn't happening. Ridiculous.
When other nonsense is happening.
But not I don't know. This. I just talked about a feral child running to Kinko's.
That's good. That's more of the normal variety of the show.
I still like this sense. Idea of doing it as a Colin, one of Colin Farrell's children, or Pharrell as a child.
And he wears his diaper covering is a giant hat.
That's right. It's an Arby's hat. This is all big right. Enough hat. You could wear it as pants.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are down to the final four, and it's very exciting to have you all here to help decide this. Molly, would you like to do the honors for our first matchup?
I will, but I always prefer when Lars says this.
Oh yeah, the location.
Yeah, so I'll say it wrong, and then Lars can say it right. Okay. Our first matchup is Wonder Woman versus Hermione Granger at Floston Paradise.
Floston Paradise!
Thank you.
Come on,
all right, well, there we go.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember who's fighting.
We just said it. It's literally just
so Wonder Woman versus Hermione.
Thank you.
And Heather, if I can real quick to answer a question that you probably have, we've established that Hermione has her wand. She hasn't dropped it. She has possession of it.
Okay. And Wonder Woman has all of her stuff.
Okay.
And it's okay if I picture it as Gal Gadot.
Please
that's
do.
How we've been picturing.
Yeah, we all have been picturing Gal Gadot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it could be like the old cartoon version where it's like she's just flying through the air with nothing around her, but like the outline of a jet.
Yeah, the invisible
jet. She's sitting there.
Yeah, sitting in the air. Like a fucking useless plane. Yes. Oh, man. And they're on the...
Yep.
Because they're probably in the ballroom. Or maybe they're where they're just that, where the... What was it called? The Prodigy? What was the name of the big blue singer on
the, yeah.
On a,
the opera singer.
The Diva,
yes.
The
Diva.
The big blue singer.
The Diva, Plava Laguna.
There it is. Thank you.
There we go.
Plava Laguna. Yeah, the big blue diva played by Will Smith. I think it was Will Smith.
Definitely an actual opera singer.
It was an actual opera singer.
Hold on. It was a blue person with weird hair.
Yes. Yeah, no, played by a real opera singer. I'm sorry. I'm going to flip out a little bit about The Fifth Element. It is one of my favorite films. Seen all the behind the scenes featurettes and whatnot. One of my favorite stories is that they wrote the score for this alien diva, gave a real opera singer the part, and she looked at the part and wept because she knew she couldn't do it. And they were like, don't worry, computers. But then when she sang the part, they were like, she did it about like 90% better than we thought she would. So they only had to auto-tune her a little bit.
Right on.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing piece. That's what I had heard too, that she saw it and she's like, there's no way I can do this. And they're like, fix it in post, y'all.
This movie
That's
is
cool.
all
I love that movie.
Post.
Anyways,
don't worry about it.
We're getting overwhelmed. We're going to be talking about Wonder Woman and Hermione. They're just in this place where the big blue diva hangs out. This is hard. I have a lot of feelings about this, but my gut is to go with Wonder Woman.
I feel like Wonder Woman makes the most sense. I don't know. I feel like I'll get shit for this, but I am not invested in either of these characters.
Ooh.
My view, too, is that they would actually...
Certainly.
Yeah, I was going to say that they wouldn't... I would just picture them automatically becoming friends. It's so hard to view them as, like, fighting each other. They're both, like the voice of reason in so many... different ways that,
that is
be
fair.
Like, let's stop fighting and join together.
Yeah, like neither of them. Yeah, I feel like has the inherent, like the instinct to go, like, no, I will fight, like because I have to. Like,
yeah,
it does feel like Wonder Woman would be protecting Hermione from Ruby Rod. Feels like the most natural.
Yeah,
yeah. My pick's Wonder Woman. I think she's got more power and able to deflect things more than Hermione.
Well, and this is, so it's relevant to, I did a little bit of research because I was curious about Wonder Woman and magic, and Wonder Woman is actually resistant to magic. Mm-hmm. Like she has heightened.
What?
Yeah.
I read that too.
Yeah. She has heightened resistance to
Wonder
like
Wonder Woman and magic.
Look, I have a very fulfilling
life. Wonder Woman D&D character sheet.
it's on her Wikipedia.
Her charisma is off the charts.
There's been a lot of Wikipedia searching between me and Molly this past week. She's been all the doozers.
Yeah,
I've been reading about Wonder Woman, but yeah, her Wikipedia list that
her
she
marriage is amazing.
It really is. But yeah, it says on her Wikipedia that she's resistant to magic. Like there's magical characters in the DC universe.
Yeah, and that makes sense too. Like I was trying to figure out like her, at least in the film. I don't know. I watched like some of the old TV series forever ago, and probably saw some cartoons, but I haven't absorbed that much of the Wonder Woman canon. But my understanding was like the Amazons are kind of magic. Like they have, and it's on the line for me whether like what they have is magic or is just like technology so advanced it's indistinguishable from magic.
They feel like they have some magic.
I think it's magic.
No, they have some magic because they're very like Greek god influence too. Like there's gods that she battles, and so yeah, like they definitely have that.
I mean it's definitely a place I want to hang out.
Oh yeah.
You know, to investigate the magic.
That's what it is. Yeah, I'm interested in the olives. That's why I'm going. Yeah, I actually, and also, I found a lot of spells that Hermione can cast that would... That would
somewhere at the NSA, there are the saddest files on all of us. sorry.
Yeah. Yes. Saddest files and weird videos. where she definitely has the power to resist, in that I don't know that she could cast a spell that could help her survive in the vacuum of space. But there are also some things to suggest that she could. She can definitely survive without air. I think at best, this is a stalemate in that Hermione could just cast defensive spells until Diana Prince just wears her down, basically. That's the best I could do.
Yeah.
For her.
Anyway. Yeah, this battle feels kind of sad.
Yeah.
Like, their hearts aren't in it, and they're just kind of punching the clock, you know? Like, they're coming in and just doing the work.
Yeah, like the wolf and the sheepdog. It's like, morning, Sam, morning, right. Frank. Yeah. Let's just get through the day, am I right? But I think
Joel, I saw a confused look on your face. That's a very famous Looney Tunes cartoon.
I thought it was like a British pub that I hadn't heard of.
Oh, no. I'm really surprised you didn't know that because you're old. Anywho. And basically, the way I figured it in my head is Wonder Woman is much more immortal than Hermione is.
Their degrees of immortality?
Well, yeah, because Hermione is none immortal. She is a human.
Hermione is, well, she's human, but there's no telling how long Hermione can live.
I think that's fair, but I don't think it's implicit. Like, I think Hermione has to do the work. Find the magic.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
Power the spells.
Yes, whereas Wonder Woman will just keep living.
Yeah, Wonder Woman has hot Amazonian immortality.
Right. And that's not just... Yeah, if there's anything that proves that immortality is not just one thing, I think it's hot Amazonian immortality.
I feel some heat radiating off of you right
now. That's also something else I sell in an infomercial on Fraggle Rock, if you want Fraggle Rock. Hey, Molly. Hot Amazonian immortality. Creative.
I've been having incredible dreams lately. That's all I'm going to say.
Molly never wants to wake up. She's like, leave me alone.
Oh, it's this man again next to me. Boo.
Where are you, Gal Gadot?
We should all be waking up saying that, for fuck's sake.
So I feel like this is the semis. Every victory should be like each victor deserves to have their victory story told. But more importantly, each person who is not the winner in these rounds, I think we deserve to know like what their final moments are.
Okay. So we're, yeah, like the diva's there singing, right? I feel like the diva has to be a part of the soundtrack as they're.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is a character who would normally exist in this environment there?
Great point.
Real, yeah, I think so.
Or they have an iPad or something. They're just like playing Apple Music. They just cue up the soundtrack. Yeah, but I don't know. So Wonder Woman's attacks are it's a lot of punching, right? Like, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, she has her lariat that she uses.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, Hermione would lie in the first place.
I guess there's just a simple version of this where Hermione just gets, like, tied up and she is disabled.
Yeah.
And like, that is the end. Because if you get knocked unconscious, like, that's it, right?
Yeah, and also, well, what happens? Lars is going to get so mad at me, but this is a sincere question.
I'm already angry. I'm just waiting for a gap.
He needs to know why. Please give him a reason to be so angry.
Okay, but so she... I'm going to say the word lassos, but with her lariat, she lassos Hermione.
She does not. She does not, and I'll tell you why. She gives Accio lariat, and it's gone from Wonder Woman's hands.
Okay, but she's resistant to magic. So maybe that doesn't work. And then Hermione
is not immune.
Yeah, like you can't leave a water-resistant watch in water.
But so maybe she tries resistant. To do the magics and it doesn't disappear. She just drops it and then picks it back up.
Also, couldn't she use the lariat to grab Hermione's wand and snatch it from her?
Well, that's what I was getting at. Like, so does she? She has to point the wand, right? There's like wand pointing action. So sure. Is Wonder Woman fast enough that she could lasso her like arms down at her side? So then the wand's like pointed at the ground, and then she can't wand anymore.
No, Wonder Woman's gonna throw her through the wall of the ship.
Yeah, or even just punch a hole in the side of the ship. Yeah. Although I got resistance for that in the first round of just punching a hole in the side of the ship.
That's because you were interrupting their love story.
That is true.
That's true. Yeah, that was
you did destroy an amazing.
That was some hot Amazonian love.
Yeah, I feel like there are two possibilities here. One is like Hermione comes out overpowered and then like makes her drop the lariat, like all attacks, like Hermione's coming up with some deflection because she's super smart, sees him coming. But then when she finally turns the tide, what she doesn't see coming is that Wonder Woman turns all attacks around with those bracers. Like her whole thing is like turning being attacked into defeating you with love. And
I was hoping you'd be like, what she doesn't see coming is a beautiful bouquet of flowers in a Hallmark card that says, I love you, Hermione.
Holds up the bracers and then it's gifts.
That's good.
And that,
it's a
and
whole
I
different
think,
kind
like,
of magic.
Yeah, so I think she just gets like knocked out by her own magic when Wonder Woman reflects it on her. But what I really want, so like what I love about Floss in Paradise, it's a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Over an ocean planet. I think it actually has an atmosphere because it's
true.
In the atmosphere. It just doesn't land because there's no land. Okay. So what I really want is like a villain style death where Hermione falls out of the ship and forever into the ocean. Yeah.
I'm into that.
I don't want that.
No, it's canon now, Lars. That's what happened. Marty established it.
Just throw her through the wall of the ship into space, and then there's room for a sequel in the future.
There
she
is.
Just floats off.
Oh, that's true. We can end with Hermione's eyes opening.
We don't know. There's different levels of immortality. We don't know that she's going to die.
Yeah.
She floats around until the raccoon finds her from the...
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, just floating on the endless sea of Floston. I think that makes sense.
Do I get my turn now?
No, I think we're done.
Let's move on.
No, what do you go ahead.
I kind of saw it as Hermione getting sucked into the vacuum of space, casting a spell that protects her from that. And Wonder Woman approaching her saying, "You know you won't win this fight. Also, I know that you had to make your parents forget about you. You know,
whoa.
You could probably use a big sister sort of figure. Why don't you just submit, concede to this fight, and then, you know, go back to living your life, and I will be there for you whenever you need me."
Boring.
That's nice.
Yeah. So,
that's very sweet.
Yeah, it's definitely Marty's, right?
It's like the Hallmark Channel solution. Very sweet.
What about this?
That is actually, like, I don't know where Wonder Woman would have learned that thing about Hermione's parents, but that is a rough thing to drop on somebody.
Well, maybe they both say their mom's names to each other during the fight. That apparently happens in the DC universe.
Yeah, how much room during this fight is there for exposition?
What is her name?
It's like, I mean,
she does a spell and it sounds like Galatea, and it's like, how do you know that name?
That would be amazing. All right. Is this one in the books? Can we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're good? All right.
Cool.
Hot Amazonian victory.
God damn it. All right. The next matchup is Gamora versus Lilu Dallas Multipass in Westworld.
Oh, man.
When I said the last one was kind of bleak, this one is bleak.
Yeah. I really am excited to hear all the thoughts that you have about this, Marty.
This is hard because you guys have to remind me that Gamora is the she's green, right?
She's green.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I know. Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay.
Like,
I've also only seen like one episode of Westworld, so I have a general idea.
But for Westworld, I mean, to make it easy for you, there's robot cow people, like cowboy people.
Yeah,
that's all you really need.
People go in, like, and act it. Yeah,
yeah.
And I think pretty critically, it's there are robot cow people that are there to be abused by rich, bougie humans who just like torture them, kill them, like every humiliation you can think of. And I think like this is that montage of Lilu watching like all of human history.
That was my thought. Yep.
But it's just like that's all this fight is. It's just
if Lilu gets
what goes
to
on in Westworld.
Yeah, if she gets to the control room and watches any moments of surveillance footage, she is in a heap sobbing. And not even the love of Bruce Willis can save her.
This one is interesting. I forget in previous ones, we've talked about characters should not be there, but
the hosts.
The robots should be there, right?
Yeah, the hosts are there.
They make the setting.
Yeah, they are the setting.
True. Otherwise, it's just shitty Western sets.
Yeah.
But no, they are the setting, essentially. And so then, that becomes a question, too, of like, Gamora for sure seems to have the ability to, like, she could potentially hack into them and, like, reprogram them.
Yeah.
Marty's really weighing this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like we see her go for anything other than, like, straight on attack or, like,
yeah, but you have to think about the fact that she was raised with Nebula, who is a robot that's like 90% enhancements at this point. And like,
do you feel like that would be kind of not cool though if like your sibling was mostly robot and you're like, I'm gonna hack this robot, but it's okay, it's not my sister. I would never hack my sister. Okay.
So are we creating a scenario where Lilu is broken emotionally because she sees the terrors of humanity, and also Gamora is broken emotionally because she just thinks of her poor sister who is also like like these hosts?
The whole fight is just crying.
But I said it was going to be bleak.
But you see, here's my scenario, which is if the hosts are there, that means that Dolores is there. Which means that there is potential for them to get on Dolores's side and essentially go, yeah, it's fucking awful.
There's also
and
potential.
And neither Gamora or Lilu is a human, which means that could recruit them to be, they're the real enemies.
And Gamora
so
already
now they're
hates
not
being
even
enslaved,
fighting?
Right?
We're creating a scenario where they don't fight each other.
Yeah, Lars, this is why I wanted to hear Marty's take on this.
But yeah,
I want a Marty McGuire this situation because none of you voted for Dolores to be in this competition, but I found a way. I found
a
fucking
way. Yeah. I think 100% Gamora knows what it, I mean, like her whole life, her people were half killed and many of them enslaved by Thanos. So she's not cool with this. I think she would absolutely help with a robot uprising, with Joel's point that they're basically her sister.
But I also, so I need to entertain this notion since we're here. We established Bruce Willis's love isn't enough, but if Dolores told her that she loved her, is that enough to bring Lilu back from the
brink? We're talking about hot Evan Rachel Wood love.
Yeah. Okay. Which is better than Bruce Willis love, I think.
That's some powerful love right there.
Yeah. Hot immortal robot love.
That means, like, it means nothing unless she's surrounded by four stones that have been activated.
But they are on Earth.
That's true. They could. Yeah, that's
okay,
true.
They're on Earth. Are they in a goddamn pyramid? And is she surrounded by four stones?
Did they ever establish where Westworld
that's
is?
That's true. We don't know that she's not. We don't even know
maybe
what all is on.
It's built in ancient Egypt.
It just happens to be a pyramid just laying around in the corner.
That's right. Yeah, there's Westworld, and then what was the? It was like Samurai World,
Shogun World,
Shogun World, which also like, come on, just call it East World. Michael Clayton, like, lean into it, make the parallels. But then, yeah, why not? There's an Egypt world, wasn't and it there, just happens to be a real pyramid.
There is another. What's the world that has like the tiger in it? There's the one that the like.
Oh yeah, it was the Indian.
World. Yeah,
it was. It felt like it was Indian.
Oh, Michael Crichton.
No, Marty, you've read this book, haven't you?
I have not.
Okay, and in Michael Crichton's novel, it was Westworld, it was Roman world, and medieval world. He didn't fuck around with any sort of Eastern anything. There's some liberties that they've taken.
He just made it all white.
That's way better.
Westworld, Roman world, and medieval world? Yes. You know, the three classical types of history.
There's nothing else out there.
Yeah, it was like you can kill people with swords, guns, or just get drunk and have orgies. That's basically what it was.
But either way, everybody was white. It's fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Christ.
No people of color existed during those periods of time. None.
Yeah. So, no matter what happens, humans are all destroyed for creating Westworld.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that means Gamora wins? What the fuck are you guys talking about?
My vote's for Gamora.
My vote is for forever friendship between Gamora, Leelu, and Dolores.
Oh, but do we also... Well,
I think you're all terrible for pitting women
friendship
against each other. High road.
I just tried to take the high road and everyone called it boring. What the hell?
Well, that's because your high road was boring. But also, can we discuss...
Literally 10 minutes ago, I pitched... They become a big sister little sister relationship.
You pitched
and learn from each other.
God, 10 minutes ago,
everyone called me some sort of sissy for picking a boring.
No one used that term. We just said you were boring. Also, you sounded like Marge Simpson when she tried to write Itchy and Scratchy because it was too violent. Some more lemonade, Hermione.
And now all of a sudden they're going to be BFFs and fight against the humans.
See, I don't.
Okay, if I Gamora, recall,
I think Gamora. I think it's a good fight. Yeah. I think Gamora ultimately destroys the shit out of Leelu.
Yeah,
and is victorious.
Can we talk about
Gamora can manifest a sword?
Well, can we talk about Gamora's one weakness though? Gravity and how that factors in.
I think that's Leelu's weakness as well. And also, if you want to get down to the nitty gritty, Leelu's ultimate purpose on Earth is to protect humanity.
Right, and Gamora's not
protect
a human.
Life until death.
Right. Yeah.
Gamora's not a human, Marty. But also she can't be involved in a robot uprising against humanity.
Who said she has a robot uprising against humanity?
You did!
No!
I don't think she protects humans. She protects life.
Yeah.
She's there to stop that hideous, the death thing that becomes a moon when it gets defeated.
So you're saying that she could potentially wipe out a population of robots because they are lifeless.
And they were posing a threat. Couldn't she become a beam of energy and wipe out the robots? That actually is a valid question.
Pyramid surrounded by four specific stones
aimed specifically at those robots.
Hey, maybe there's a robot geologist. You don't know.
I've known some robot geologists, actually.
But also, they need fire, as established by.
I don't have no fire.
They need all the elements, but yeah, because you're
fire, no energy, no nothing.
But because Leelu's not non-violent against because she fights True. Those like whatever they
she
are dog
butt.
Dog
those
faced.
Things that aren't human. Yeah, she does. She definitely does fight those things that aren't human.
But Gamora's not human, so if that's your logic,
she fights humans too.
Well, but I'm saying I don't think Leelu has any sort of thing that's going to stop her from fighting Gamora.
No, this was all for me. I said that to kill the robot uprising. Good Lord, we're going in circles here.
Yeah.
I think if it's a fight between Leelu and Gamora, I think it's a good fight. I think Gamora wins hands down.
What is hands down? I'm not saying that I'm not convinced, but I think we need to do better than just like Gamora wins because she wins.
No,
let's see that final scene.
No, I think Gamora is more vicious and ruthless. That's okay. Why I think she
okay. That's that. Okay. Yeah.
She
no. That's
manifest
valid.
Manifest a weapon. She's
okay.
She
but
can, she can
we,
also
we,
take
okay.
laser shot.
Okay. But there were weapons
have
in Westworld.
Have you
West
noticed
World?
That every time someone else speaks, Joel's like, "Okay, I open my mouth even to agree with one of you," and it's like, "Hold on,
well,
hold
no, because,
on a second.
No, because I'm legitimately like Heather's point is like I can see that she's more ruthless. Your point is she can manifest a weapon. We talked about in previous rounds. Lilu can make a weapon out of anything. Like, that's actually clearly established. She doesn't need signature weapons. She uses the environment as a weapon.
Okay. Using tumbleweed as a weapon.
Because they
no
only had tumbleweed.
In Westworld.
They're, every robot has guns on their hips.
Fake weapons that only affect each other and no one else.
You haven't watched later seasons of Westworld when everyone starts dying by those guns then. They start killing the, like, the visitors, the, like, park attendees
yeah. Yeah,
with
yeah,
those
no,
guns.
I've seen that.
So.
Oh, wait. So if they're there and they're not visitors, can the hosts kill, can the hosts hurt Gamora and Lilu?
This is the shit I've been saying.
Well, in theory, that's, so.
Marty, thank you.
But I mean, in theory, the host should be on their loops, right? Like, so Dolores should be like dropping a can and trying to get you to like go on an adventure into the forest with her. And like, you know, Teddy Ooh. Should be rolling into town on the train. Although the host, they have loops of like little repeated actions that they just do
like,
over
I,
and over
I,
again.
I can see we're losing Lars. Lars, I don't think anyone's disagreeing with you, but because this is the semifinals yeah. and each victor deserves a victory shot, mm-hmm. and each loser deserves for us to know how they went down.
Yeah.
What, like, paint the picture for us.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I was trying to
I agree
say.
And disagree in that people are disagreeing with me actively.
I love that you made that point by actively disagreeing with Marty. Let me tell you why you're wrong. Everyone's being really argumentative with me, idiot.
The way... Ooh. Oh.
Yeah, we're good.
This is a weird environment in that the hosts are part of the environment. However, here's what we know about the hosts. They're on a loop sometimes, and sometimes they aren't on a loop. Here's what we know about the people fighting each other. Is neither one of them are human. We also don't know how the hosts act towards non-humans. We don't know if their weapons work on non-humans. We don't, there's a lot of unknown things and we're just making assumptions. And I think we make assumptions.
What do you
based
think we've done
biases.
This entire
competition? That's
yeah,
the point.
I love
no,
that.
This
yeah,
is what I'm saying is we're making assumptions based on our biases. Like objectively, let's think about it. Do those weapons
okay,
work
if this
on
happened
non-humans?
In real life?
Seriously,
if they do, why would they not? If they work on humans, why wouldn't they work on non-humans? They're guns. They once the safeties are off, why would they not work on everything? They work on buildings. They shoot buildings and glasses all the time.
Okay. Okay, who are the hosts fighting against then? Who are they fighting against? Both of them?
Well,
neither
see,
of them? One
of
them?
I mean, to me, I don't think the hosts are doing anything unless... Like Gamora hacks into them or Lilu hacked into them. I think they're.
So are we going to say the hosts are doing nothing?
They're just. Yeah, I mean, unless they're. Like, if they're fighting and they, like, one of them gets thrown into a host, then maybe the host reacts.
I think, like, Lilu's whole deal in most of the movie is that she is, like, wandering from situation to situation, messing things up by just being, like, the new person who doesn't understand in some environment. I think she absolutely gets, like, recruited for a bank heist or something.
She starts doing a side quest.
Yeah.
I could totally see that. Yeah. That she think, oh, my God, that's a yes. Because, yeah, someone comes up to her in their loop and are like, hey, you want to go find some gold? And then she thinks that's what she's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so she, like, starts wandering off.
Yeah.
That's pretty solid, honestly.
But does that end up protecting her? Because then she has people, like, if Gamora is trying to fight her, she now has a crew with
her. Well, that's it. Okay, so we know if they're in the town square, which is a pretty safe bet, that Dolores is going to drop that can, and then Leeloo helps her pick it up, and now they're bonded.
Yeah, I guess the question... So, the question with Westworld is, does this fight also unfold like the show Westworld, where everything is a painfully slow build over many anecdotal experiences and many loops through time?
It's very narratively complicated.
Until, like, finally, it's like, yes, now Leeloo understands it's a machine, but does Gamora also understand? And then eventually...
That's how I viewed it.
And then eventually, like, someone gets to the middle of the maze. It turns out there are four stones there, and Gamora gets blown away.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I don't know. It depends. Yeah, if it's a straight fight, I think that the hosts are just kind of noise. I think they might be convinced in the moment to take sides, but probably nothing too strong, and that Gamora is just like... She just hits harder and is more ruthless, like
like Heather said. To kind of go back to what Heather was saying too, like with Gamora being more ruthless, I could see her figuring out pretty quickly how to manipulate the host in terms of, like, maybe she starts knocking Leeloo into hosts so that they turn around and start fighting her, or you know what I mean, like manipulating that they would be on a loop until, oh, look, like this person's threatening you in some way. Yeah, I could totally see her turning that once she figures out the way things are.
Yeah, if nothing else, like, Leeloo is she is not part of the society and very gullible, and she might wander into the bank, and then Gamora's like, look out, she's robbing the bank.
Right.
And like, it's so easy to make Leeloo the scapegoat in anything in Westworld.
I'll put it this way. In my mind, the way it plays out is the slower play where Leeloo integrates into Westworld, and I think that she ends up being a pivotal part of the Westworld revolution. In a straight fight, like you're saying, I do think Gamora wins. It's not how my brain wants it to work or really thinks it actually goes. Like, in the Molly world where I'm like, no, that's not how they play out in Westworld. Leeloo integrates. She's important to this world. But I think for the sake of argument, I'll give it to Gamora, even though everything in me tells me that's not how this would work. So once again, I will concede.
Are we all... It sounds like we're there.
I think we're at five Gamoras.
Five Gamoras. It's our new rating system for movies.
But I don't think Gamora lasts long in this world. I'm just going to put it that way.
I think she makes some calls to Nebula and is like, you know, I really see things through you. Like, this is a really eye-opening trip for me. I could have been a better sister. All right. Heather, you've been quiet for a while. I just want to check in.
Yeah, no, I really want to go watch Westworld.
I'm curious.
I've only seen one episode of it. I know a lot about it. I just haven't seen it. So
you
want to
let me? I think you want to watch 3/4 of Westworld.
Okay. I'm curious if you'll agree with my Leeloo Dallas assessment.
I'm excited. Now I want there to be a crossover. There's our network executive. He'll green light it.
Laser dogs.
But can it be for Father's Day?
That's right. And at a paper factory.
All right. Well, I think...
Well, we got our final set.
We have our finals.
Oh, that's a good final.
Yeah.
That is a really good final. That's DC versus Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Prepare for lawsuits.
Do any of you remember that really underwhelming crossover DC and Marvel thing they did in, like, I think it was late 90s or early 2000s, where they all fought and then they ended up just turning into these, like, hybrid comics where it was like, what if, like, essentially it was, what if Batman and Wolverine had a baby? Like, not that exactly, but it was seriously like they released a series of comics that were like, he's half Batman and half Wolverine. like they just combined them.
Wolverbat. Yeah.
Oh, I really wanted to see them parent together.
Oh, no.
I kind of want to see them fuck, honestly.
Imagine what that baby would sound like, because they both have like those gruff voices.
Right. It's just a little baby with sideburns and a
I am the knight, bub.
That's right. You'd be like the most like moodiest baby ever. melancholy in the corner.
If you don't mind very much, I'd like to know where she is, eh? Wolverine's Canadian, sorry.
I just like the idea of that baby playing the two dads against each other, of like, other dad said I can like take the bat plane out this weekend.
Invincible dad with powers said that you wouldn't let me go out tonight.
Oh man. All right. Well, I think that is going to wrap things up. I would like to say thank you to our esteemed panelists, and ask if you guys, if there's anything you would like to promote, perhaps the Baltimore Improv Group or free cleaning services throughout New York, anything.
Baltimore Improv Group, we have shows every night of the week and they're always free. That's what's awesome. If you want to see me performing, I'm every Saturday night at 9 with my troupe Gus. And again, free.
Did you know the... Did I ever tell you you're the first improv group I ever saw in Baltimore?
What?
Yeah, I saw you guys perform at the BMA in 2007.
Was it one of like the dance mashups?
It was right when I moved here like 13 years ago. And I saw you perform with Gus at the BMA. So I don't know if I ever told you that, but that's a thing that happened. And you've been entertaining me for that long. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And guys, go. It's what's the address?
1727 North Charles. It's right next to Sophie's Crepes in the Charles movie theater.
Boom, you guys. That's a whole evening planned out just for you.
Get some crepes.
Get some crepes.
Yeah. The crepes they charge you for, though. Like, just to be clear. The Baltimore Improv Group is free, but the crepes, like...
The crepes ain't free.
Yeah. It's like my grandfather always said. You can see the improv, but the crepes ain't free.
That old chestnut.
Great marriage advice.
Hello. Yeah, and I guess if I have plugs, you can catch me part-time on the We Have to Ask podcast.
I was going
to
say,
wehavetoask.com.
Increasingly, you cannot catch you on the We Have to Ask podcast.
Yes, we talked about this last time I was on Novo Radio, and my resolve has weakened.
So. I'm enjoying your co-host, Descent into Madness, so it's been very delightful.
If nothing else, Jonathan is the most artistic I have ever seen him.
I learned a lot about superheroes, like, in the recent episode, like, failed superheroes. It was good stuff.
Yeah. He's getting into some good stuff. I need to help him out. Or maybe I don't. Maybe this is exactly what he needs.
I don't know. It's pretty
good. He is coming into his own.
And also, I saw he stepped away from the mic, but our friend Lars is on another Peak Sloth podcast that I just listened to. He did an episode
called Interrupt Lars.
that we're working on that one. That's like Lars's Nervous Breakdown is a new show coming to the Peak Sloth Network. But no, he was on the Curioso. He did their Trappist Beer episode with Pat Stork, another Peak Sloth guy. So that was it was very enjoyable. Luckily I gave him a nice compliment while he wasn't on the mic and couldn't hear it. So. That's the way it should be.
Lars compliments.
But he was good on it and you all should check that out and enjoy it. And remember, and also Molly Regan Art on Instagram.
Oh yeah. I do art sometimes when the doozers tell me to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't wait for this doozer this doozer fan art.
My god. Yeah. No, that's all it's going to be from now on. I'm very curious to see where this goes and a little terrified, which is what art should be. Curiosity and terror.
So remember, question everything.
TV yet creating, Molly? Let's get to it and do it!
Pod Squad, how can I help you today?
We need to make a plan. Already on it. I'm pumped!
What are we supposed to do now?
Persistence is the key. Don't give up now.
We can do this without gadgets.
This'll be fun!
It's time to get to work!
Hobo Radio is a production of HoboTrashCan.com. If you enjoyed the show, please rate or review it on iTunes. Hear more great shows on the Peak Sloth Podcast Network, like this one.
We Have to Ask. It's a podcast where we answer the question, are you going to eat that?
What will you leave behind?
Why get out of bed?
Will you be our neighbor?
I'm Marty.
And I'm Jonathan.
We're two hosts.
Infinite Universes.
We have to ask.
New interviews every Tuesday.
Find us on iTunes or online at wehavetoask.com or with the other great podcasts on the Peak Sloth Network at peaksloth.com.